The sermon text this morning from Philippians, the third chapter. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Indeed, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have lost all things in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, having the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. So in this one little section here this morning, St. Paul uses some very specific words, and words like confidence and faith and knowledge. And there's important relationships between the words that he uses and the relationships that are intertwined with these concepts, the concepts of confidence, faith, and knowledge. So Paul here expresses the confidence, the faith, the knowledge that he has in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, well, I have this confidence, this faith, knowledge, and it all has a goal. It's not just the goal in itself to have this. The goal that Paul is pushing on to is the resurrection. Eternal life, the promised resurrection. So the forgiven person will rise on the last day, glorious and immortal. So this is what Paul is pushing on to. Now we remember Paul has seen the risen Christ. He saw the risen Christ as Paul was on the road to Damascus. Remember, Paul was going to persecute Christians, and Christ appears to him, Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? Who are you, Lord? I am the one who you are persecuting. Right? And after this encounter, and due to meeting Christ, justification, righteousness, faith in Christ, resurrection, all these things become of paramount importance to the Apostle Paul. And reading these words from Philippians this week, and looking at our hymn today, hymn of the day, some words jumped out. And they all revolve around belief, like the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. But what is belief? Like what is this? In our hymn of the day, there was, faint not nor fear, His arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe. And you will see that Christ is all eternally. And as I was looking at that, one of the things that came to my mind, you know, the hymn, the reading, is how often, how do people today in the modern world think of the word belief? What does it mean to believe something? And in many instances, in many cases, to believe something just says, well, that's what I believe. Well, what is your evidence? What backs that? Well, don't have to. I just believe it. You can't question what I believe. Well, yeah, I can question what you believe. Because we don't just randomly believe things. You see, Christians don't just randomly believe things just because we feel like believing them. What we believe and what we have confidence and trust in is based on evidence. Like, sometimes there's an idea that to believe means that there need not be evidence or proof. Like, I believe in the Great Pumpkin. Because Linus did, so there you go, that's good enough for me. Or, I believe the world is flat, and that every astronomer and every cartographer in the world is engaged in a cover-up to keep the truth from knowing, being known. Like, really? No. That's ridiculous. Right? The world is not flat. We have enough evidence to prove that. But see, that's not what we mean when we say belief or faith. We don't just believe something like, I want to believe it, therefore that's what I believe, and hey, you can't say nothing to me about that. Not at all. Absolutely, absolutely not. See, in the Lutheran Church, we have a doctrinal statement in the Augsburg Confession, the Book of Concord, I mean. We believe, teach, and confess that faith is not mere knowledge. Aha. Faith is not mere knowledge of the stories about Christ, but faith is the gift of God by which in the word of the gospel we rightly recognize Christ as our Redeemer, and we trust in Him solely because of His obedience, that by grace we have the forgiveness of sins, and that we are regarded as holy and righteous by God the Father, and we shall be saved eternally. See, that is faith. The faith is a confidence and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ our Lord, what He has done, for the purpose of being saved eternally. This is what St. Paul's talking about, and this is what St. Paul's doing. He's saying, like, I'm going to point you to the goal. There is a goal to all of this. It's not an end in unto it itself. And the goal is resurrection and eternal life and glory. Now, there is eternal life without Christ, and that is really eternal death. It is damnation. It is suffering the torments of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We do not want that. We do not want to spend all eternity in torment, and the torment of knowing that we rejected our Savior, that we rejected the one given by God to give us eternal life. So we want eternal life, and that is life and glory. That is blessedness with all the traces of original sin wiped out of our nature, and that we live for all eternity in that blessedness and in that glory. So faith apprehends that. That is faith's goal, to live. So what does faith do? Faith, in one sense, right, is an objective body of knowledge. So like we say in the creeds, all the things that we believe, all three articles of the creed. This is what we call the faith that is believed. But that's not saving faith. One can say that's all historically true, but Jesus never, I don't believe it. It doesn't apply to me. Okay, so you can say everything in the creed, but not trust that it applies to you. That's not saving faith. Right? To believe the gospel does not signify the mere knowledge of history, because the devil and the ungodly have a mere knowledge of history, right? But namely that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, namely that we trust that we have the grace of God for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have Christ's righteousness and the forgiveness of our sins through Christ. That is the faith that is revealed to us in the gospel. So our faith, our belief, our trust, our confidence in Jesus Christ isn't some kind of pie-in-the-sky thing. It's based on the witness of Holy Scripture. And where did the Holy Scripture get the witness from? The people who were there, the people who saw these things occur in time, wrote them down. They considered them to be so important that they wrote them down for us. So what does Peter say? Peter said, "And we are witnesses of all that he did. God raised him from the dead on the third day, made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as his witnesses, those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." St. Paul also writes down for us on paper, "He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, but some of them have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to all of the apostles, and then he appeared to me as to one untimely born." Like, people saw the resurrected Jesus. People saw him die. People saw him nailed to a cross. People saw him put in a tomb. People saw an empty tomb. People saw Jesus appear after he was laid in the tomb. People saw this Jesus alive. They saw him eat fish with them. So Jesus appeared alive, right? So 500 people, primary sources, first-hand witnesses, people who laid eyes, ears, and hands on the events that are recorded in the gospel. All of the history would be nothing, though, if it was not for the why of what Jesus did. And there's a reason that Jesus did all that he did, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to the entire world. Repentance and forgiveness of sins, then, to what end? What is the end of that, the goal of that? Jesus himself tells us in John's gospel. "The work of God is this," Jesus said, "believe in the one he has sent. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day." There is the goal, resurrection, to be raised up on the last day. Again, Jesus says, "For it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus also looked at the disciples after many started deserting Jesus, and he said, "Do you not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of and you know this, eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We believe and we know that you, Jesus of Nazareth, are the Holy One of God. So this belief in Christ, faith in Christ, is not a mere knowledge, but it is a desire to accept and grasp what is offered in the promise of Christ. So when a person believes, right, take all of that, put it together, look at the evidence, say, I have confidence and trust in this based on the evidence that Jesus is exactly who He says He is, right? When a person does that, believes that their sins are forgiven because of Christ, and trust that God is reconciled to that individual, that God has a kind disposition towards you because of Christ, that personal faith, that personal trust, and that personal confidence obtains the forgiveness of sins and justifies that individual. So faith is the power of God that grasps the promise of God and the promise of grace and righteousness and gives vigor to the heart, and especially when the heart is surrounded by the terrors of sin and death. Right? When we're on our deathbeds, faith grabs hold of the promises of God. So this faith then looks past death and looks forward to resurrection. Past and through death to resurrection. Through faith in Christ, Jesus' work on our behalf, we will rise completely renewed. You will rise completely renewed. In the resurrection, you will rise from the grave. You, like you who's sitting here, you will be you. You will look like you, with the exception that all of the corruption of original sin will be removed from you, and you will be perfect just as God had originally intended it. You will be glorified. You will rise to live forever, as Job asserts in his book, I shall be covered with my own skin, and in my flesh I will see God. I will see Him with these eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me for that day. That is the Christian faith. And what better than to end with St. Paul's words to the young pastor Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Cling to Christ, cling to the Scriptures, cling to the truth of what has been written down by many witnesses, so that you might have eternal life, trusting in Christ, and on the last day be resurrected from the dead to live eternally, immortal, and in all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.